that every Christmas morning, his grandpa would go to his favorite restaurant in their hometown, and he would always go there for his what he called his holiday breakfast, which was Eggs Benedict. And so just before they would bring out his order, grandpa would make a special request to the waitress. He'd hand over his hubcap from his old Studebaker and say, ma'am, would you mind serving my breakfast to me on this? The waitress always complied, but one year she said, you know, I just have to ask you, why do you always have me serve your Eggs Benedict on this hubcap every Christmas morning? Well, grandpa said, there's no plate like chrome for the hollandaise. Okay, sorry. Just thought we'd start out that way a little bit. But, you know, there's lots going on in all our homes, right? And this has been a crazy week, like I said. It seems like, and I think we really did lose a week this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we've all been running quick and all trying to pull it all together. But I want to just allow us to hit pause for a moment. And part of the journey that we're on is really trying to understand one more time. And for some of us, we've seen many Christmases, and we've seen what they mean, and we know that as we journey through it, those of us that are in a season of life where maybe we've lost a special person, Christmas takes on a very hard meaning. It's a meaning that we prepared for, but we were not really ready for. And yet, I want us to see that as we pause for a moment to focus on what is the greatest gift that God has given us, this gift of Jesus. In fact, we heard it read to us just a little bit ago by our choir, which out of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, where it says that God presents us the gift to us. And so the story that we've been on is now finally our part in the story, and says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. You see, Jesus' arrival says as much about who he is as about how much he operates in our lives, because he comes unexpected. You know, the gift first presented himself in a similar way so that he even presents himself to us this year, this day, on this Christmas Eve. You see, in John chapter 1, verse 3, the writer says, through him all things were made. He has the ability to peel back the heavens, to stop time, to thunder to the ends of the earth, yet there was no room for him when he arrived. If you or I were the production managers of trying to orchestrate the coming of the Son of God to earth, I don't think it would sort of taken on that sort of picture. The way he was received, even though, speaks about how we can respond to him even in this moment. Sunday we talked about the Magi who came from afar to find Jesus, the baby Jesus. And we know in the story there in Matthew that it was complicated, because we know that Herod actually wanted to take and he wanted to kill Jesus. And in fact, there was a great genocide and infanticide where all the baby boys ages 2 years and younger were literally killed because of Herod's greed for power. He was afraid that he might be pushed out. So it's no coincidence that the inn was too crowded for Jesus. Because even when we think about our own story and our own lives, our lives are crowded and full. We think about Christmas, the running around, the craziness that we see in the, you know, unfortunately because of Amazon, I was talking to our postal guy today, I was talking to the UPS driver yesterday. It's just amazing how we want it now and we don't want to wait for it. And yet, really it's about this looking at the story this year. And so we spent the last 4 weeks talking about the cast of Christmas. And the first week we talked about the prophets, and we talked about the angels the second week, and then we talked about the shepherds, and then we finally talked about the Magi. And then tonight we're talking about us, our role in the story. And so, but I want us to just think about a couple things first, though. I mean, all these individuals, including us, responded to Jesus in a particular way. The prophets were these ancient writers who literally waited and waited and waited, almost like you did Sunday morning when I stepped out of the room. It's like, where's Tom? For a moment. It's this idea, we're not quite sure what to do when things don't quite go the way we plan. And so if we think about the ancient Israelites, and to be reminded that in this thing called the Bible, we have what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. In between those two sections is actually about 400 years of silence. Now, that was a hard thing for God's people. And so there's sometimes, though, when we step into this idea of knowing who Jesus is, some people especially, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody who is struggling with their faith journey. And it's because many people feel that God is primarily concerned with our behavior. And so even though Santa Claus is the one checking the naughty and the nice list, God doesn't work that way. So look at your neighbor and say, God doesn't work that way. Because it's not about your behavior. It's about something much deeper. And so this is the holiday where we remember that God took a huge step towards us. The simple story of Christmas isn't about the church or even about what we call religion. It's about a relationship with God. It's about love and life and freedom. Now, for some of us, we've already made up our mind and we've leaned into that. And for many of us, it's been a long journey. And so for like our children, it's a short journey, but they've made a decision sort of move in that direction. But there's others maybe who don't know, maybe even don't know the story that's in the Bible. And so there's actually some Bibles on the back table, and I'd encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, take one and turn to that back section called the New Testament and read the four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call them the Gospels. And in those books, we find the story of Jesus' life and about why he came, why it is that tomorrow, virtually every business in our community will be shut down. Fortunately, the power company won't be shut down or the gas company, so we can still depend upon that. And yes, I'm sure Spectrum will have internet available so you can actually use your cell phone and internet and all that stuff. But the reality is that there is a story that God is writing and he wants us to see it. See, this isn't a question about what church you go to. This is a question about really what eternity holds for you. And so it's as we celebrate Christmas each year, we need to pause and really think about the power that this has in our community and in the world and even in each one of our lives. It's a question of who God is, and it's also a question of what God wants, and then what your life could mean within the answers to those questions. And I got to tell you, the stakes are high enough that it's at least worth taking a serious look. And so I want to go back and look at these folks we spent some time with these last couple weeks. First of all, like the prophets, God had been talking about his arrival for thousands of years before it took place. It was very confusing. And if you were in a religious person on your day of worship, you spent a lot of time in a temple. And when you walked into that temple, it didn't smell very nice because there were lots of animals around. There were lots of blood that had been shed. And so it was a different kind of experience than it is in our churches today, really. And like the shepherds, we can respond like the shepherds. I mean, even like if I say the shepherds, you know, look, there's, you know, look, they said over that way. What is it they saw? Literally like the choir just shared with us, there are these amazing voices that came down out of the heavens to share with these shepherds, probably some of the lowest members of that culture, to share this amazing story once again of who Jesus is. Now, some of us respond to Jesus as maybe some of you might even be now wondering, well, what is this really all about? But there's no special knowledge, and they really didn't see anything other than the angels that appeared in the sky. And as the angel appeared to the shepherds, announcing the Savior had come, that he's already in a stable, it was their curiosity, the shepherds' curiosity, that didn't have them just stand there. They actually went on a journey to find him. They actually said, the scriptures tell us, let's go see this thing that has happened. And maybe there's some folks here that are just a little curious. Maybe you're wondering if there is anything to this story for you, if it's just about people pointing aimlessly around. I don't know. So to you, I would say, just respond to Jesus and engage the Christmas story a little more than you have in the past. Consider the idea that God is, and that he is in fact love. Maybe you have seen God's greatness and the beauty of the world and experienced his brilliance and nobility in your own heart. At the same time, you can see there's something broken in the world. All you have to do is look at the news around us and see that it is kind of messy. So I want to just point out, we see it every week we're in here, but the cross tonight, you know, I want us to see that at the intersection of the cross, there's the upward and the sideways. And it's in that intersection that we actually have two things. It's two important truths about who God is. First, God's justice demands holiness and payment for sin. That had to be taken care of. The thing we all share in this room together, young and old, is our lives are final. There's a finality to our earthly life. And that came about because of this thing called sin. But then also we need to be reminded that God's love provided the payment through the death of Jesus. And he is reaching out to each one of us in love, even this evening. It says in Romans chapter 2 that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. And so if you're curious like the shepherds, I want to encourage you that you can respond by just opening your heart to Christmas, the idea of what Christmas really is about, and allow the possibility that the first Christmas was simply God's expression of love and kindness towards you. God showed that love of his amazing love by sending his son, Jesus, to remove the judgment and the guilt from your life. And so I just want you to take a moment in your own quiet of your own heart to just respond to him and thank him for that. If you've made that decision, thank him for that. If you've not made that decision, just ask him to walk alongside you and help you to better understand that. Like the Magi, they were waiting and watching. And so in this moment, respond to him like Magi did. We sing the song, We Three Kings, and as we saw Sunday, as we looked at the Magi, we're not really sure they were kings, and we're not even really sure there were three. In fact, there was probably many more than that. We do know that there were three gifts given, and so it's interesting in looking at this that what the Magi did, we tend to collapse the whole story of Jesus into one night, and we tell the story when actually the Magi didn't appear on the scene at the stable where Jesus was for probably a year and the journey that they took coming from the east. Like the Magi, some of us maybe are waiting expectantly for God to move in our lives. Maybe there's something you're pushing into or working through that's complicated. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's the person sitting next to you. Maybe it's the person that you left at home. But there's something there, and so you need God to show up. And so like the Magi, you need to sort of just step out in faith and go and see what they did. They brought gold and spices and perfume. Now, you may be wondering what kind of gift can you possibly bring in response. And I just want to encourage you that what you have is enough. That who you are, in fact, the whole reason that Jesus came was so that he could be with you. And so the point of Christmas isn't really gifts as much as it is the connection with God. That's why family gathers tomorrow, or maybe this evening after we finish here. Maybe there's other things that you'll do later in the week to gather with your family. But you see, it all reflects this idea that God is pleased to just really have us to be present with him. And your response to him is an important part, not to bring him something other than you and you alone. So I just want you to take a moment and think about the response that we ought to have towards Jesus' arrival. Maybe it's another response that's different than maybe in the years past. Maybe it's something that you need to start working on in your relationship with God. And then maybe it really is all this together as we looked at these different players, the prophets and the shepherds and the Magi. We can, even our own story, we can respond like the angels did. What did they say? Again, looking at a scripture that was read to us earlier. On the night when Jesus arrived, the angels praised God and sang, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." So we can wrap up this part of Christmas by carrying our praises out into Christmas celebrations. And so as you leave here this evening, as you lean into maybe the crazy Uncle Eddie that's at your home waiting for you to get there, or maybe it's a fun Aunt Fritz that's there that's coming to visit tomorrow, whoever it may be, will you try to give the best out of who you are? Will you give God the glory in the way how you treat each other? Maybe when those presents, children, when they're open tomorrow morning, and you share them to be kind with your siblings and let them have a round of it too. Will you give glory to God in the way that you celebrate? Will you take a moment at your table tomorrow or this evening or this next coming days to actually pause as a family and give praise to God and thanks for what he's given you? And then will you give glory to him in the way you sing? And we're going to sing here in just a moment because that's what we have to do on Christmas Eve. To give him the glory. And will you give him glory in the way that you finally live? Not just today or tomorrow, but even as you lean into what the new year that's just a few days away comes. Anything other than understanding this, that Jesus is your fulfillment. I just can tell you that even tomorrow when the new presents are open, even those will be a disappointment. Sorry. The reality is that Jesus will not disappoint. And if you lean into the relationship with him, once again, fresh, you can have an experience of a lifetime. You can go to a restaurant on the moon, but you still won't be you'll still be disappointed. By the way, the restaurant on the moon, ready for this? The food is terrific, but there's no atmosphere. See, even that disappoints you, right? See, there's nothing better than Jesus. There is no other one who deserves our praise. And so as we gather here tonight, and as we get ready to leave here in just a few minutes after we've sung and shared a candle, I pray that your Christmas will be calm and quiet. I pray that your Christmas will be full. And that I also pray that it will bring you one step closer to the one who came to be with us so that we can be with him forever. Because you see, this life is just preparation for the life to come. And I have to be honest, just in a moment of thinking about as we went out with an amazing team of singers a few nights ago, 31 people I think we had, amazing voices, amazing energy. I was also saddened to be reminded of the people who weren't there, the people who brought joy to others, and the responsibility we each have to be reminded of those that we need to bring along on this amazing story. In fact, I had one moment as I was in the car, because I can remember riding, I don't know who was driving. I know Percy wasn't because he was in the passenger seat. But he had a Santa hat on, and I was right behind him. We had just come from Kathy Becker's. We're coming up Passion Road. And it was a day like yesterday, Sunday. It was beautiful, spectacular sunshine. And I just remembered all that Percy offered to each one of us in various ways. And if you didn't know Percy, much of what this church, even our music program tonight, is a reflection of the heart that he had for the kingdom. Because, see, he knew. He knew. And there were other good men and women that come to mind, Phil Pendleton and Betty Squire and others who have gone before us. At the same time, it's our responsibility not to miss the opportunity to tell the story one more time. And so again, as I challenge you, give him the glory in all things, but most importantly, give him the glory in the way you live. Would you pray with me?